Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from Mark 7, verses 24 through 37. From there, he sat down and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet, he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in a private place away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and he touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And immediately Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Bless the reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week, we're back in Mark's gospel. After spending the summer exploring some of the letters to the early churches, I thought as summer kind of gives way to fall, this would be a good time for us to transition from learning what is church and how do we be church to who is Jesus and why does Jesus matter in the life of the church. You'll notice that in Mark's gospel, Jesus doesn't stay in one place for very long. He is kind of constantly on the move, traveling from town to town, healing the sick, driving out demons, and proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near. And while he's doing this, he keeps constantly telling his disciples or just different people gathered to not tell anybody who he is and what he's about. I think Jesus does this because he doesn't want these healing miracles he performs to distract people from this major healing miracle that's about to take place on the cross. Our scripture reading for this morning is one of those healing stories in Mark. In our story for this morning, we actually have two healing stories. One involves a Syrophoenician woman's daughter who is possessed by a demon, and the other one involves a deaf and mute man who is asking Jesus to heal him. Both of these stories focus on unfortunate suffering from illness that isolates these people from their communities. When Jesus heals the little girl and the man, he performs a miracle. And when I say miracle, what I'm talking about here is when Jesus does something for a person that they cannot do for themselves. You'll notice in our text for this morning that Jesus seems, for lack of a better word, a bit preoccupied as he is healing these people. actually insults the woman before he goes and heals her daughter. Once he kind of restores speech to the man, he tells the man not to use his new gift to tell people who Jesus is. I think one of the reasons that Jesus is a little bit preoccupied is because Jesus is kind of thinking about his end game. He's thinking about how he's heading to the cross. He's on this mission to restore creation to its intended glory. And he knows that this type of healing can only happen through sacrifice, death, and ultimately resurrection. The other thing that's kind of unique about this healing story as compared to other healing stories we hear about is that the people who want to be healed really have a lot of hoops they have to jump through to get to Jesus. Jesus doesn't just show up in their house and tell people to get up and walk, they're healed. These people kind of have to elbow their way through a crowd, state their case, and hope that Jesus will heal them. And then once Jesus heals them, they have this responsibility to make the most of this new life that Jesus makes possible for them. As I was reading through this story this morning, I was reminded of the ways that the kingdom of God can sometimes make sense to no one but God. The kingdom of God is often breaking into the world in the least likely of places, through howling demoniacs and deaf men. These healing stories also take place when Jesus is actually trying to take a break from the crowd. And even as he withdraws, he still encounters people in need of the healing only he can provide. I think the challenge of our story for this morning is to remind us to look for ways that this kingdom of God is unfolding all around us. One place where I always experience the inbreaking of the kingdom of God is when we gather together to celebrate communion. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. The crackers and the grape juice we partake of help us enter into the greatest healing story of all time, when God became man and God dwells among us, so that he could do something for us we cannot do on our own. Defeat the powers of sin and death and heal us once and for all. But the real miracle of communion is watching the body of Christ come forward to receive it. As I'm preparing and administering the elements, I'm always reminded of the miracle of God calling us to be the church in this time for this community. It is beautiful to watch men and women receive the elements who maybe haven't always gotten along so well in the past. It's beautiful to watch elders serve communion to folks who maybe need a little help receiving the elements. It's also beautiful to release the elements into the congregation, knowing that we get to bear witness to God at work in our community in a way that we can see and taste and touch. I will say, though, my favorite part of communion is the way that it beckons us out into the world. From this table, we are called to go out into the nooks and crannies of our lives and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Communion always starts at the table, but it continues as we get up and leave this place. Now, how we do this is going to look a little bit different for all of us. When God invites us to work with him and participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, Sometimes that will mean volunteering our time for a cause that we really care about. Oftentimes it will mean doing that thing we really don't want to do, but we know we should. But most of the time, God's invitation is going to surprise us. It will force us to trust in God in ways we haven't had to in the past. It will ask us if we're willing to follow Jesus into the unknown. Friends, I know I talk a lot about this idea that God is always active and at work in our lives and communities, and that our job isn't to be God. Our job is to get in on what God is already doing. As we head into these fall months, we are going to have many opportunities to see firsthand what God is up to in our lives and communities. Just this past week, we saw communities ravaged by hurricanes, flash flooding, and extreme heat. We saw families struggling with the effects of Delta as they tried to head back to school and work. And our challenge remains to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near in this time and this place, even when we aren't exactly sure how it's all going to work out. Friends, when so much feels big and scary and outside of our control, we have to trust that God is at work, and we have to do what we can to control what is ours to control. We cannot heal every disease, and we cannot stop every roof from caving in. Only God can do that. But we can do what we can do to acknowledge human suffering and alleviate it. Sometimes that is as simple as showing up every month to receive communion. Oftentimes it is as complicated as following the still small voice of God as it beckons us to leave the familiarities of our routines and follow God into the unknown. However we find ourselves trusting in God this fall, know that you and I are not doing it alone. We do this in community with one another. In community, we bear one another's burdens so that no one has to face their burdens alone. We also do this with the help of God's Spirit. In those moments when we don't know what we should do, we lean on the Spirit's promptings, trusting that God is going to reveal the way forward in God's timing. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.